Today, more on why mortgage rates will rise. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. We recently discussed the prospect of interest rates lifting separately to whatever the Reserve Bank may do. See, never mind the RBA, will rates go higher? And since then, the US 10-year bond rate has been moving higher again, with the expectation of more Fed rate rises ahead in the next few days. And in addition, US mortgage rates have resumed their upward trend that began last week after political turmoil in Italy had begun to die down. More simply put, rates had been rising from mid-May onwards. Locally, I continue to track the BBSW, the critical benchmark, and rates are still elevated, if off their highs. And this is an indication of the influence of overseas funding and the question of local trust in the markets following the Royal Commission revelations, recent court cases, and now the latest suggestions of cartel behaviour. But the question is, to what extent are these movements in short-term rates hitting Australian bank margins, and will they react by repricing their backbooks? There is first the optics, given the current focus on their poor behaviour, as laid bare in the recent rounds of hearings. Banks who hike rates risk more reputational damage. Can it go lower, I ask? Although some, such as Suncorp and MyState, have already reacted by lifting rates. And if you look carefully, average mortgage rates are already a little higher and deposit rates continue to be cut. But all is done quite quietly and not enough to repair margins. Second, the current behaviour we're seeing is the offer of significant discounts for some new and refinanced mortgage loans, especially principal interest loans with lower loan-to-value ratios, because banks need to grow their mortgage books to sustain shareholder returns. And mortgage growth is slowing. Third, it's worth understanding what proportion of bank funding is based on short-term and overseas funding. Perfectly timed was a speech, Some Features of the Australian Fixed Income Market, by Christopher Kent, RBA Assistant Governor, Financial Markets, in Tokyo. He said the reduced use of offshore funding by the banks has been offset by much greater use of domestic deposits. The big shift away from short-term debt towards deposits started around the time of the global financial crisis. These changes were in response to the demands of the market and those of regulators for banks to make greater use of more stable sources of funding. While the use of short-term debt, for example, less than 1 year, is less than it was, it still accounts for around 20% of banks' funding, and about 60% of that debt, on a residual maturity basis, is raised offshore. Global money markets in the United States and elsewhere provide the Australian banks with a much deeper market with a wider investor base than the relatively small domestic market. This short-term debt is issued in foreign currency terms, but the banks fully hedge their exchange rate and interest rate exposures at relatively low cost. Because Australian banks raise a portion of their funding in US money markets to finance their domestic assets, they responded to higher US rates earlier this year by marginally shifting towards domestic markets to meet their needs. Hence, the rise in the US 3-month LIBOR rate relative to the overnight index swap, the OIS rate, was closely matched by a rise in the equivalent 3-month bank bill swap rate, the BBSW spread, to OIS in Australia. Similarly, the two spreads have declined of late by similar orders of magnitude relative to their respective OIS rates. Equivalent spreads in some other money markets around the world also moved higher, although to a lesser extent than spreads in Australia. In contrast, rates in the euro area and Japan were not affected by the tightness in the US markets. That difference appears to reflect the fact that although European and Japanese banks tap into US money markets, they do so largely to fund US dollar assets. Changes in BBSW rates in Australia feed through to banks' funding costs in a number of ways. First, they flow through to rates that banks pay on their short and long-term floating rate wholesale debt. Second, BBSW rates affect the costs associated with hedging the risk on banks' fixed rate debt, with the banks typically paying BBSW rates on their hedged liabilities. Third, interest rates on wholesale deposits tend to be closely linked to BBSW rates. In short, he says, the costs of a range of different types of funding have risen a bit for Australian banks in the past few months. But, he says, they remain relatively low. In short-term money markets have eased, with BBSW about 10 basis points lower than the recent peaks relative to the OIS. While some business lending rates are closely linked to BBSW rates, and so have increased a little, there have, he says, been few signs to date of changes to rates on loans for housing or small business. Yeah, right. Here is my summary. Banks are exposed to short-term funding costs moved. 20% of the funding is short-term, and 60% of that is offshore. As for the pressure on rates, well, Credit Suisse just put out an interesting note highlighting the state of the money markets. They say interbank credit spreads are back at financial crisis highs, and our modelling suggests that we should expect to see both sharp tightening of bank lending standards and out-of-cycle rate hikes. Therefore, even without doing anything, the RBA will find that financial conditions are getting tighter. Now, a quick bit of modelling suggests that banks will need to lift rates, and soon, to address the profit compression suggested in the money market movements, yet alone paying the various agreed settlement costs and fees in some bank operations. Mortgage rates are indeed set to rise. More mortgage stress ahead, I fear. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.